All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, April 3rd of 2025. And looking ahead here, we had golf tee off earlier this morning. Good luck to all of you with your Valero Texas Open lineups. We had a three-game MLB main slate over on DraftKings to get started earlier today. There is still a two-game FanDuel MLB main slate later this evening. We have some NBA action with a six-game NBA main slate tonight. And then over in the NHL streets, we have a nine-game slate there. So plenty of DFS action coming at you today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right, let's get SaberSim up. And figured we could look at this FanDuel two-game main slate coming up in a few hours here. This is kind of our first time talking about small slate MLB. You know, a lot of the slates so far this season have been larger slates. So this two-game, you know, main slate is kind of interesting, right? Main slate strategy for large slates versus small slates definitely differs a bit, and you want to kind of approach it with a bit of a different touch. So this would be a good place for us to start. We didn't have any questions to get us started. So if you have questions, now is a good time to get them posted, but we will start with a slate demo. So here we have this main slate coming up. We do have our default contest sim chosen here, so we'll just leave that alone. And then we go over to our build. Notice min salary is opened way up here, right? You basically want to allow for a lot of different combinations. I'm kind of in favor of like lowering it even further and just giving the builder like a big range to work with. You know, it's going to be relying on the sim outputs, right? Sim diversity is up at 9. So we're going to be relying on the sims heavily here. And, you know, I don't really want to inhibit lineups that the sim creates with the min salary on a two-game slate nonetheless here, right? So that's probably the only thing I'm doing with like settings. As far as rules, I'm leaving off don't use batters against opposing pitchers for a two-game slate. You know, it happens where pitcher can pitch good but give up, you know, one or two home runs on the other side. And on a two-game slate, you could have the pitcher and you could have, you know, the hitter that hit a home run against him, right? Like, for instance, we could have Nick Lodolo, but then we could also have Rhys Hoskins, and Hoskins could have, you know, solo home run. I mean, solo home run is going to do him great justice here and would help him a lot, right? Especially at a bit of a lower salary, right? Under 3,000 here. So want to leave this rule off. Personally, for two-game slates, I would recommend it. If somebody asked me what they should do, I would say leave it off. So that's one big thing there. Now, when it comes to pitchers are a little bit interesting. It's going to depend on what slate you're playing or what site you're playing on, right? Because FanDuel, you get one pitcher, okay? So having, you know, only one pitcher, you got to pick one out of four, pretty safe to just go with the starters, you know? On two-game slates on DraftKings, right, where you have two pitchers minimum, I personally like to tinker with some of the relievers and, you know, see if there are any good options at reliever to possibly work in, right? Sometimes it's going to depend on, like, what pitchers are available. You know, all these guys are, like, a little bit higher salary, but you're going to run into slates where, you know, teams are on their third, fourth, fifth starter, and they just all happen to be, you know, lower salary, not that well projected. And you can get a little funky with some of those constructions, but mostly not doing that on FanDuel, mostly kind of reserving that for two-game slates on DraftKings where you have to play two pitchers. So here I would probably just set some filter to, you know, get rid of projection greater, lower than, or show players with projection greater than 7 to get rid of these relievers. You know, they're even these relievers are getting some ownership, right, in the field lineup. So that kind of shows you, like, hey, this is something that does happen, right? So here, though, we're going to leave it off. Just go with starters. I think that's a fine choice. I've seen this actually come up quite a bit. So I want to mention it. You know, I feel like a lot of people like X out, you know, 7, 8, 9 batters. I think that's wrong. I think you guys should leave them in. I think that, you know, they do well often enough, and the builder will work them in at the rates that they're good. I think especially for smaller slates, you should 100% leave them in. I would definitely not X them out. So I am not doing anything with batters. I am always leaving all batters available in my player pool. Okay. So that's about that. We're going to build a smaller number of lineups here, but other than that, that's basically all I want to do here up front, right? So I'm going to build lineups. I'm going to kick this off. And we will let this build run. All right. So let's let this run. So with regard to 2-game slates, right, there's always the consideration of duplication. You know, is duplication important, and do I need to factor it in, right? So the answer is I'm not like 100% sure. What I would recommend doing, right, is going back in time and using contest flashback. Even if you don't play on DraftKings, you can still use it. If, like, say we're playing FanDuel, right? Okay, I mostly play FanDuel. But you can get a sense for how 2-game slates play even by looking at another site, right? So I don't know if there were actually any recent 2-game slates yet. Let's go MLB. Let's go DraftKings. That's tonight. 4-gamers. Okay, so there was a 2-gamer, and then there was another 2-gamer. Okay, so, like, let's go look at this, like, late night slate, right? 2 games, classic. What I'm trying to figure out is, like, hey, is duplication on 2-game slates something that comes up often, right? And we could, you know, go and look and kind of get an idea here. What you want to be aware of is the size of the contest you're playing versus the size of the contest you're looking at, right? So, like, that turbo was, like, 588 lineups. So what I'm doing is I'm coming back to the 2-gamer I'm playing and saying, like, okay, well, like, how big are the contests I'm playing? And these look a little bit bigger, right? 2,000, 4,000, 6,000, 23,000, 35,000. So you want to try and find something of, like, similar size. Like, if I were to go and look at that the 2-gamer late night where it has, like, 600 entries, you know, I might get, like, some false indications, right? And I want to be careful with that. So I'm kind of looking for, like, a bigger sized 2-gamer where contests are sized up. So maybe I could use the solo shot, right? About 3,000 entries. This one will get us kind of close. Okay, kind of close. I'm surprised. Can't click on it. What's going on? Okay, DK, 2-game night slate. Maybe contest sims didn't run for this. 329. No, that was regular season. So I'm not sure if sims didn't run for this or not. Because I think the slate started on the 27th. Let's try one more. Let's try the 27th. Okay, so we could definitely click on these. So I would probably look at the quarter jukebox or the minimax, right? Both of these are good. I'm going to look at the minimax just because it's a 150. So now we pull this up. And then we go to users. Yeah, Tyler, I'm not 100% sure why it wasn't working, but this other date is, so maybe I did something wrong. All right, and then I would go and look at people who max this out, and then I look at highest sim ROIs, and then I would look at average dupes. So it's like a two-game, 14,000 entries, and our average dupes are 1, 2, 3, 0, 1, 0, 2, 0. So not super high, okay? This would lead me to say, okay, in my FanDuel two-game main slate today, I'm not going to account for duplication a lot. I'm going to just kind of go with my normal process, and I'm going to do things as I normally would. I think that's the right approach here based on what we see on like similarly sized contests on past slates. So that should give you like an indication, and then you can play it. And then if you run into a situation where you are highly duped, maybe there's different dynamics with, you know, pitchers and lineup construction and stuff, then you can start to make some adjustments. But we've kind of got an indication that we should be okay, so we're not going to do anything here, okay? But at least we checked, right? Very important to kind of verify that so you can feel comfortable making that decision, okay? All right, so now we go to our build. We are sorting by our ROI for our contest. We have our average projection. We might have average ROI. One thing you might see on smaller slates, okay, is as you increase the min uniques, the projection might go up and the ROI might come down. And the reason for that is that if the builder is fading the highest owned teams and getting to lower owned teams, and it is the lower owned teams end up being higher ROI, well, as you move away from them, your projection might go up, but your ROI might go down. So just be aware of that when you go into some of these slates, okay? Now, I'm ready to start making some adjustments. First thing I would probably do is just see where my uniques can get to, right? So 1 to 2, okay, ROI goes up a little bit. 2 to 3, ROI goes up a little bit more. I'm sorry, projection. Projection's going up, not ROI. So projection went up. We get to 4 uniques. Projection has gone up a little over a point, and ROI is at come down about 15-ish%. Still pretty good. Uniques to 5. Projection comes back down. ROI takes a big dip. I might go back to 4 just to see what it looks like. Okay, so I go back to 4, and where are my highest exposures coming from, right? I can look at pitchers and batters. So here, right, we're taking a stand on Kelly. We're under on Lodolo. If you look at this, just look at the team totals, right? We're basically taking Kelly against the highest team total team in the Yankees, and then we are under on the pitcher facing the lowest run total team. The builder's kind of flipping the slate on its head. It's like, hey, let's attack, you know, the Yankees. They're the highest owned. This pitcher's the lowest owned. And then let's actually, I think we're going to end up stacking Milwaukee like this top lineup. I haven't looked at our players yet, but we're ultimately under on the top owned pitcher. So I'm assuming that means we're going to be playing some Milwaukee. Okay. So, but again, these stands aren't massive. You know, Lodolo is 43% owned. We have him in 30%, so slightly under. And then Kelly is like 9% owned. We have him in 25% of our lineup, so slightly over like 15%, right? So I think it's okay to let the builder do what it wants here, but you just manage some risk a little bit, right? All right, so that seems fine. Go over to team stacks. We're getting a lot of Arizona, and then followed by Milwaukee, followed by Cincinnati, and then the Yankees last. So highest projected runs we're under. We're taking a big stand on the second highest projected runs. And then we're getting Milwaukee and Cincinnati kind of close. Their run totals are a little close too. So big thing is that we're under on the Yankees, right? Okay, we go over to batters and just kind of look at some of these guys. So again, you know, similar thing, Arizona, Milwaukee. We're getting some Yankees, maybe like one-offs. Like it looks like, hey, we're getting like a Judge one-off, right? You start looking at your lineups, Judge one-off. Let's see if we're getting any other one-offs. Cabrera one-off. Chisholm one off, Judge one off. So we're taking some shots on some Yankees guys, right? But we're not stacking the team. Seems okay, right? You're getting some exposure to that environment, and you're just really hoping that, you know, all of their production comes from like one player, right? Or a lot of it, which is okay. So here you got to decide, you know, are you comfortable with this batter exposure, or do you want to go a little bit higher, right? If we go to five uniques, our batters go from 60, 55 to the highest being 45%, right? So we get a little bit flatter with our batter exposures when we go from four to five uniques. And that's really like where the ROI is kind of coming from. Our stands stay pretty similar at stacks. And then our pitcher leverage stays about the same, but it's really the concentration on the batters seems to be the determining factor in the big difference that you see between four and five uniques. Me personally, I'd probably be okay with four, but it is okay to go to five. It's like totally okay to go to five. So this is how I would be building my lineups for this upcoming two-game FanDuel MLB slate. So I hope this helps you guys out and gives you some ideas about what to do if you're playing over there later tonight. All right, next question. What is 75th percentile, 85th, 95th mean, and how can it be used properly for NBA? Okay, good question. So let's go over to NBA for today. Got a six-game main slate. And we'll just kick off a build while we talk about this. This is a pass slate. Let's go to today. Third. What do we got today? Also a six game. All right. Try that again. Kick off a build. Okay, so there are two sources for percentiles, right? That's what we call those. 25th, 50th, 75th, 85th, 95th, 99th percentiles. So what we do is we look at a player's graph. This is describing all of their outcomes in The Sims, okay? And then we basically chop this up for you. And we give you something that reads a little bit easier. So whenever you're reading the percentiles, and I'll just put them together, you kind of got to read them. How do I explain this? It's always like one minus the percentile. So for instance, a 99th percentile is the score a player achieves in The Sims 1% of the time. Okay. My 100 minus 99 is one, right? So what we're saying is that, hey, in 1% say that again. Giannis scores 94.6 points 1% of the time. That is his 99th percentile outcome. And then, you know, similarly, 50% of the time, he scores 64.1 points. This is his median, okay? So these are player percentiles. Now, there is another source of percentiles, which are in the sorting metrics, and there are percentiles here. These are different. These are lineup percentiles, okay? So let's stick with the 99th option, all right? So 99th percentile, you see the number 348, right? And then if you hover here, you see a pop-up with the other percentiles, okay? So what's happening here is when we build the lineup, we put all the players together, and then we go back into the Sims that we use when we built the lineups. And then we say, hey, how did this combination of eight players do across all the Sims that we used? We basically create a graph for the players as a whole. We create a graph for the lineup. And then we describe it. We say, hey, 1% of the time, this lineup scores 348 points. And then similarly, let's get rid of this. Similarly, 25% of the time, the 75th percentile, this lineup scores 290.5 points, right? So that's what the percentiles are doing. We think lineup percentiles are better than player percentiles. Because imagine you're trying to take a 1% outcome for Carrington, a 1% outcome from Grimes, a 1% outcome for every player in this lineup. The chances of that happening get exponentially high or exponentially hard very, very fast. When you look at the lineup as a whole, we're saying, hey, 1% of the time, this lineup as a whole. So imagine playing 100 lineups. One of them, on average, will have its 99th percentile outcome. But if you're taking top 1% outcomes for each player, the odds of that happening are going to be a lot longer. And chances are you're not going to need that to win a DFS contest. It's usually some type of blend, right? Maybe one guy has a 99th percentile. Maybe some other guy has a 95th. Maybe some other guy has an 85th. Maybe three players have an 85th, right? It's always kind of a mixture. So this gives you a better sense of how the lineup does altogether, right? With this blend of scores. So this is already baked in to SaberScore, right? If we went and looked at the SaberScore formula, there is a percentile option here, right? One of the variables, it's some projection, 95th percentile, and then ownership, an ownership component, right? This is for one of the SaberScores, right? Okay, this is for 10K to 50K. And then if we go look at SaberScore for something smaller, well, now it's using 85th percentile, right? So we are using the percentiles in the SaberScore formula. Now, if you're using contest sims, you don't need to worry so much about it, because when we randomly sample the sims and then when we run the contest sim, we're taking single slate simulations. So that kind of already gets baked into the contest sim because we're running it 100,000 times. So that's what the percentiles are. Those are the differences between player and lineup. And I hope that gives you a better understanding of what you're looking at. All right. Big J said, I tried looking on the website for help. Couldn't find anything about it. But what does dupes mean? Is it duplicate lineups? Okay, good question. So when we run the contest sim, what happens is we take your lineups, we put them into a hypothetical behind-the-scenes contest with the field lineups. What we are also doing is we are looking at how many times your lineups are in the field lineups. This is a little bit more prominent for like showdowns, NASCAR, Formula One, MMA, sports where the smaller player pool where you most likely need an optimal to win. And what we're telling you is like, hey, in the field lineups, this lineup was played this many times. You can expect it to be duplicated. The reason that's important is because we want to give you a sense for how duplicated your lineup is. And then when your lineup's duplicated, that lineup is sharing the first place prize with all the other lineups. So it impacts the ROI. So you get an accurate ROI by understanding how many times a lineup is duplicated. Because you can have a lineup that wins 10 times, but the ROI is going to be different if it's duplicated twice versus if it's duplicated 20 times. If it's duplicated twice, probably a good play. If it's duplicated 20 times, well, maybe it's not a good play. Maybe it's getting duplicated too much where it's not winning enough over the long term to pay off all the entry fees for the times it loses. So dupes is looking at your lineups, counting how many times your lineups are in the field lineups when it runs the contest sim. All right. Hope that made sense. Other than that, I think we're all caught up with questions here in the YouTube chat and Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.